And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans, and we are brought to you by the Till Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, the Till Kilt Pub and Eatery located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till Kilt girls. For more on Till Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And today is March 9th, which is a Wednesday, so it's not your normal typical show. That is because we are doing the NWHL Isabel Cup final special. Obviously, we had the semifinals this past weekend. The finals are now this weekend. A little later on, Kate Cimini from Don't Snow the Goalie podcast and today's Slapshot will be joining me. And because this is the NWHL special, we are also brought to you by AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016 at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Summer Glau, Kevin Smith, John Barrowman, and many, many others. For more information or to purchase tickets, please visit awesome-con.com. And we are going to jump right into it right off the bat. Obviously, if you heard Saturday's show, you know about both Game 1 results. But just to real quick do a quick summary on it, we're going to start with the New York Riveters-Boston Pride series. In Game 1, the New York Riveters won 6-0. The Boston Pride won 6-0, my mistake right there. Jillian Dempsey had a goal and 3 assists as the lead-leading Pride blew out the Riveters 6-0 to take Game 1. Boston would outshoot the New York Riveters 56-17 in that game. Then in Game 2 the next day of their best of three series, the Boston Pride continued their dominance of the New York Riveters, and it started 7:38 into the game when G.G. Marvin got the Pride on the board first, and 4 minutes later on the power play, Hillary Knight would score to make it 2-0. The Riveters, however, would cut into Boston's lead with just over 5 minutes remaining left in the first as Madison Packer put one past Pride goaltender Brittany Ott. However, Jillian Dempsey would score on a 4-on-4 goal in the final minute to give the Pride the 3-1 lead. In the second period, Jenny Scrivens came in relief for Riveters starter Nana Fujimoto, who was feeling ill still, which is why she also missed Game 1, but it would not change anything. Boston would score in the first minute as Blake Bolden would put the Pride up 4-1. Then 6 minutes into the second period, Hillary Knight would score her second power play goal for the 5-1 lead. With 1 second left on a 5-on-3 power play, Kira Dosdale would score for the Rivers, but Brianna Decker would score on a shorthanded goal 13 seconds later to give Boston the 6-2 lead. But then 11 seconds later, Ludmila Belikova would score on the power play to cut Boston's lead in half. In the third period, Celeste Brown would score for the Riveters with 5 minutes remaining. However, Hillary Knight would cap off the hat trick with an empty net goal with 1 minute 16 seconds left. Boston would go on the win 7-4 and win the series 2-0 over the New York Riveters, making the Boston Pride the first team in NWHL history to win a series in a sweep. Then, on the 7th player of the series was announced, the NWHL announced that Boston Pride forward Brianna Decker has been named the player of the Boston vs. New York Riveters series. Decker recorded 2 goals and assists in the Pride 6-0 Game 1 win over the Riveters. Decker then added another goal and an assist in their Game 2 series clinching 7-4 win. And then moving on to the Buffalo Buttes vs. Connecticut Whales series, which took place in Connecticut. Game 1 recap real fast. Connecticut won that one 3-0. It was a very tightly contested game. However, as if you heard on my show Saturday, you know, they weren't finishing around the net. They weren't getting those rebounds. The defenseman shots were missing the net a lot, you know. But going in the game 2, the Buffalo Buttes would get Kelly Stedman back in the lineup for them. And she made it known early in the game, getting multiple opportunities and testing Whale goaltender Jamie Leonoff. Stedman would score the first playoff goal in Buffalo Buttes history halfway through the first period, shooting it high right past the outstretched glove of Leonoff. Then shortly after killing a Haley Brown penalty, the Buttes would get one more on the board before the end of the first as Devin Skeets netted a rebound from a Kelly McDonald shot. In the second period, the Buttes did not skip a beat on the power play thanks to a Kaylee Fratkin penalty. The Buttes would take advantage, and Megan Bozak would take a shot from the point through traffic to give the Buttes a 3-0 lead. Bozak's goal would come 30 seconds into the period. Kelly Babcock would score for the Whale to make it 3-1 going into the second intermission. But with less than 3 minutes left in regulation, Haley Brown would score an empty net goal and give the Buttes a 4-1 victory and tie the series at 1 game apiece. In the deciding Game 3 the very next day, the Buffalo Buttes defeated the Connecticut Whale 4-1 to win the series 2-1 and advance to the Isabel Cup Finals. This game would feature Megan Duggan in the lineup for the Buttes, as well as Brianna McLaughlin starting her third straight game in three nights, while for the Whale, Nicole Stock would get the start in net instead of Jamie Leonoff. With 8:33 left on the board, a Megan Bozak slap shot would find its way past Stock to put the Buttes up 1-0, but over a minute later, the Whale would tie it up at 1 with a goal from Kelly Stack. Then going into the second period, McLaughlin had her fair share of amazing saves, including running out of her crease to stop a breakaway opportunity. With less than 2 seconds left on the clock, Haley Brown would knock in a Devin Skeets rebound to give the Buttes a 2-1 lead going into the third period. With 14 minutes remaining in regulation, Kelly Babstock would beat McLaughlin to tie the game at 2, but within a minute later, Courtney Konechkow rang a deflection past Stock only to hit the post. On the power play, however, Skeets would make her deflection attempt count and give the Buttes the 3-2 lead with 7:27 left on the clock. With the Whale goalie pulled and on a Buttes penalty kill, Megan Bozak would get the empty net goal for the 4-2 lead with 1:14 left, and Babstock would score for the Whale again, but it would not be enough as the Buttes would defeat the Whale 4-3. And then on Tuesday, the 8th, the player of the series was announced. The NWHL announced that Buffalo Buttes defenseman Megan Bozak has been named player of the Buffalo versus Connecticut series. Bozak scored the game-winning goal in Game 3 of the semifinal round against the Connecticut Whale to send the Buttes to the Isabel Cup Finals. Bozak would also open up the scoring with a goal in the first period of Game 3 and also had a goal in Game 2. So that builds up to a matchup between the Buffalo Buttes and the Boston Pride in the Isabel Cup Finals at the Prudential Center Practice Facility in Newark, New Jersey, which starts this Friday, the 11th, at 7 p.m., and then they play again Saturday, and if necessary, they will play Sunday. And coming up after this break, we are going to be joined by Kate Cimini. We will talk about the playoff series that were, and then we will take a look at the Isabel Cup Finals themselves and give our predictions. So with that, we'll be back from the break. Spring is in the air, and that means one thing. The MCW Spring Fever Tour is back. Starting off on Saturday, March 19th at the Frederick Indoor Sports Center in Frederick, Maryland, come see former ECW World Champion Tommy Dreamer and the current MCW Rage TV Champion and former DX member Billy Gunn. For more information and to purchase tickets to MCW Spring Fever Tour, visit MarylandWrestling.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for a Serious Hockey Fan. And I am now joined by Kate Cimini once again from today's Slapshot and Don't Snow the Goalie podcast. Kate, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no, hey, last week went so well. I said, hey, let's bring you back.
You could hear me driving in my car then. Now I'm sitting at a computer, so we're okay.
Yeah, so let's hop right into it. I've already gone through what went down in both series. Let's get your thoughts. What were your thoughts starting first with the Boston-New York series?
That was a very, very, very tough series to watch. I had to split the series because I the team of writers that I'm on, I was the only one who could make it to either Boston or Connecticut. So I had to make it to both. And so I saw the first Boston game. Really wish I'd seen the second one because the second one was a lot more of a fight, literally and figuratively. That first one was really, really just difficult to be present for because the Riveters just kept getting their butts handed to them time after time.
And one thing to note is that like game one, it was like the shots were 56-17. You cannot blame Jenny Scrivens at all.
Oh no, she did a tremendous job. The other two goalies were unable to play due to illness, and she really stepped up. Like, huge kudos to her.
Yeah. So Boston, you know, annihilated. That's the best word I can come up with. The Riveters in two games.
Well, the second game was much closer. If I remember correctly, I think
it was 7-4.
Yeah, the Riveters scored four. The Riveters have scored four goals in only one other game. They really brought it. Like that, That was a fight I haven't seen out of them on a regular basis, and I wish I'd gotten to see that.
Now
I'll have to be content with the stream.
Yeah. Now, with that, let's talk about the Connecticut Buffalo series, which was a much closer contested series from the first game to the last. What were your thoughts on this series?
You know, I was absolutely positive the Whale were going to take it in three. I was sure they'd lose Saturday and then pick it up Sunday. And, you know, it seemed like the Whale were sure of that too. I think really it helped that Buffalo added Kelly Stedman in the second game and then added Megan Duggan in the third. So they added two of their best players into the games with fresh legs. And on top of that, you know, Duggan is, she's such a great two-way player, and Stedman is so good on offense that the two of them combined, you know, when they're on a line together, when they're on the ice together, it's, you know, they're near unstoppable. The only line I've seen that stops them on a regular basis is the Decker, Knight, and Smelker line
now
on Boston.
Now we got to go back to what we predicted last week. You predicted, obviously, you just said it, Connecticut in three, and we both said Boston in three. But of course, I picked Buffalo in three. So when you're saying, you know, that you picked Connecticut to win, I'm kind of doing my evil villain laugh in the background, like, wah. But I thought this was a very good series. I only got to watch games one and two for Buffalo, Connecticut. Game three, I couldn't see because I had a commitment to Maryland Championship Wrestling. So I had to be there for their show. But watching game one and then seeing them get shut out that first game, I noticed that they also did a lot of adjustments, not just bringing Kelly Stedman back in, not just bringing Megan back in, but they did a lot of adjustments to their game as well that helped them take on the Whale a lot better in the game two and then evidently game three as well.
What adjustments are you talking about?
Well, they were able to do more finishing around the net. They were able to get more rebounds. That was one thing that I was actually critical on Saturday. I was actually critical of the defensemen not getting their shots on net from the point. There was a lot of shots that were going wide. They were able to get more control of their shots and get them on net to create more rebound chances. So it was like those little things that needed to get fixed. They did that. And you saw that in game two. You saw that, well, I can't say you saw that in game three because I didn't see game three, so I wouldn't know that. But I definitely saw that in game two, a major shift in those two games.
Mm. Now, I spoke with one of their head coaches, Shelley Looney, right before and then after the second game. And to your point, she said that the biggest difference for her team between games one and two against the Whale in the postseason was that for game two, all of her players bought into the system. They remembered to play the way they were supposed to be playing instead of just like go out there and like play real hard, play real hard and you'll win. Because you find that when you go out and play real hard and don't have any sort of game plan that you lose 2-0.
Yeah. And, the other thing is that, now you watched game three. I couldn't, darn it. My question just blanked on me. No. That's horrible. And this is the most awkward part of the interview because I blanked on the question. I had the perfect question. Oh, that's what it was. So going into game three, you said that it seemed like the Whale had it, you know, in their mind that they had this series won. A big benefit I think that may have helped the Buffalo Buttes in game three is the fact that they staved off elimination one game already. Having that experience of going, okay, we staved off elimination once, now we got to do it again because it's win or go home. Do you think that also helped them going into game three?
Oh, for sure. They were ferocious out there. They were giving it their all. For a while, I was next to the Buttes bench, and you know, I couldn't take any video for all the cussing going on right next to me.
But that's what's expected from us hockey players. We curse a lot. The only reason that there's no cursing on this podcast is because I have sponsors. Hi, sponsors. So, but how exciting was it to see the Buttes make that comeback, coming down from a game down to staving off elimination and then eventually eliminating the Whale? How exciting was that to see that happen? And what was it like actually in the crowd with the fans, being how that was in Connecticut?
Buffalo has a good amount of traveling fans who are almost all players, relatives and friends and significant others. So there was actually a very large section of Buffalo fans who just took up about half the bleachers and were routinely shouting, "Let's go Buttes." It was really cool to see that passion. It was very exciting. So this whole season, I have occupied a really interesting space where I cover all four teams, but I also did the job of the Connecticut Whale beat writer. So I know we have a Buffalo Buttes beat writer. We have a New York Riveters beat writer. So I know the Whales game much better than I know any other teams. So it was really interesting to me to see the Buttes exploit the problems in the Whales game, because for so long, every game I've seen with the Buttes and the Whale, you know, the Whale just were able to hang in longer than the Buttes could. Eventually the Buttes like would let one in and then they'd fall back on their heels, and then their systems would get, you know, they'd get tired in the third and their systems would get sloppy and so on and so forth. And that, that was not the case this time. And it was just fascinating to see that difference, because as Megan Duggan said right after that game, she said, that the postseason is a brand new season. Everybody's 0-0. So it doesn't matter if they lost 7 in a row. It matters that they won these two.
And that's actually a good way to end this segment on talking about the past few series. Kate, we will be right back from the break. And with that, when we come back, we will actually preview the Isabel Cup Finals between the Boston Pride and the Buffalo Buttes.
Tilted Kilt girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk, the Serious Hockey Fans, and I'm smacking my microphone for no reason whatsoever, and I am joined by Kate Cimini from today's Slapshot and Don't Snow the Goalie podcast. Kate, we just talked about the semifinals between Buffalo, Connecticut, and Boston, New York, which leads us to the Boston Pride versus the Buffalo Buttes in the Isabel Cup Finals in Newark, New Jersey. Let's take a look at this from the perspective of both teams. If you're the Boston Pride, what are you thinking is the game plan going up against Buffalo, who has, I would say, a psychological edge in regards to being able to play in two elimination games where they could have been sent home and winning those games?
What do I think is the key? For Buffalo, I think the key is to really not let the Boston Pride into their offensive zone, which would be the Buttes' defensive zone. Boston's dangerous, and they absolutely love to just hang out in the opposing team's defensive zone, cycle the puck, wear that team out, and then score. That's going to be their biggest challenge. I know Buffalo's got really good goaltending. I think Buffalo actually has better goaltending than Boston does. You know, Brittany Ott, she is a good goalie, but she's not as good as Brianne McLaughlin. And they have, you know, here's the issue. You've got four national team players against eight or nine. Boston's, the deck is stacked in Boston's favor here. And when you're looking at that, you have to think that what Buffalo really needs to do, Buffalo needs to outlast Boston. They've got, you know, Megan Duggan's not going to be there for one game, presumably because she's got a coaching commitment. So it's going to be at least one game she's missing. Kelly Stedman will be there for all three games, two games if somebody happens to win it in two. McLaughlin, same thing. Falzer, Bozek, you know, those are their big names. The Skeets, Brown, Konechica line, they're also, you know, they're going to be there. They're just a phenomenal line together. They have such good chemistry and they work so well together. But honestly, I think for Buffalo, the key is simply keeping Boston out of their zone and then outlasting them. Push it to three games. If Buffalo wins, it's going to be because they took it to three games.
And with that, what do you think? I mean, we, as you mentioned, it's eight national players to four. What do you think would happen if Boston were to lose the first game? It's a chance thing, I know, but what would happen if that were to take place?
I'm not sure I catch your meaning.
Okay. Boston obviously won their series in two. Buffalo won in three. Buffalo, in my opinion, is riding a bigger wave of momentum going into the finals than I feel Boston is, because of the circumstances that Buffalo had to face to win their series. If Buffalo were to win that first game, what would Boston have to do to reassess their game plan going up against the Buttes? Being how you said that, you know, Boston's always in the other team's zone and stuff like that. What would they have to do to change it if Buffalo rides that wave of momentum into game one and wins game one?
I think Boston would have to really focus on a way to shut down Stedman and Duggan and Bozek. I think that's probably the biggest. I think that's the key, is those three. Boston has phenomenal zone exits. Their zone entries are also really strong. Each of their players has a specific job on the ice. They're very well coached and they play a really smart game. Luckily, Buffalo is really well coached, and Buffalo also plays a very smart game. The issue with Buffalo is that beyond their top six, and say top four, they don't necessarily have a ton of strength. So you're looking at a third line that's really frequently on the ice just to kind of like try to hold onto the puck. And third defensive pairing that is not always the strongest. And I think currently Haley Williams is out with an injury. I could be wrong, but she did not play the last game of the Connecticut series.
She didn't play game one. She played the first period of game two, but then kind of disappeared due to a lot of the penalties that were taking place in the second and third period. And then she didn't play game three.
I was standing next to her. She was the source of the cursing.
I like Haley. Good job.
Yeah, she's funny. So really, I think for Boston, the key will simply, if they drop that first game to Buffalo, the key is going to be, you know, how do we shut these top players down and really force Buffalo into a holding pattern?
Okay, and with that, you know, let's do some predictions. What are your predictions for the Isabel Cup Finals?
Good question. I haven't really given this a whole lot of thought.
Look at that. I'm making you think.
Yeah. I'm going to say Boston in three.
Okay, and for the reasons that you gave about they just have like the advantage more because of the national team players and coaching and all that others.
Yeah, and not just that, but Buffalo really only recently came together. I think they started to really click in January. Boston also started to really click in the second half of the season, say December onwards. But the key to Boston is that the majority of these women have been playing together for the past 3 years. They just know each other very well. They know each other's tendencies, and they're on a roll right now.
All right. And with that, my prediction is I'm playing with the underdog card again. I'm going with Buffalo Buttes in three. Right now, they're riding a very big wave of momentum after beating the Whale. You also cannot take for granted what they were able to experience in that series by being able to being down one game, winning game two to stave off elimination for another day, and then winning the winner go home game three game. That's something that Boston, even though some of those players you mentioned have been playing together for 3 years, that's something that them as a full team, as the Boston Pride, have not experienced yet in the playoffs, but the Buttes have, and I think the Buttes can use that to their favor and could give them a 3-game or 2-1 victory over the Pride in the finals.
That would be fascinating.
I agree. That's why I'm picking it. But Kate, it's been fun. Where can the people find you and your work?
So I write at Today's Slapshot most frequently. I'm the lead NWHL writer there. Yep, that's me. You can find me on Twitter at K_Cimini, Cimini. And I also post some of my photos to Instagram and Flickr. And I don't know the names of those accounts, so good luck finding them out.
And of course, the Experience Hockey Talk is brought to you by the Tillakilt Pub and Eatery in Frederick, Maryland. The Tillakilt, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tillakilt Girls. For more information on Tillakilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And also, because this was an NWHL special, we are also brought to you by AustinCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Peter Capaldi, John Barrowman, Riddle, and many others. For more information and the purchase tickets, go to awesome-con.com. And of course, you can follow the podcast at Experience Hockey on Twitter, and then on Facebook at facebook.com/experiencehockeytalk. And because we have you, Kate, from Don't Snow to Goalie podcast, we'll see you next time on the ice, where we always snow to goaltender.